Welcome to episode 1181 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look. And in this section of the series, we are exploring conversations Jesus had tens of hundreds of years ago that reveal his heart. The air in the house in Bethany is thick with the lingering, almost overwhelming scent of costly perfume. The disciples gathered nearby exchange uneasy glances and hushed whispers. Judas Iscariot's voice cuts through the murmuring, sharp and calculating.
What an utter waste. This perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages for many in Judea.
He's right, Lord. All that money just poured out.
Imagine the good that could have been done. 300 denarii could feed a multitude of hungry families, clothe so many who shiver in the streets. We preach giving to the poor, Master. We live simply, yet this. It seems so contrary to our very mission.
Yes, Lord. We give up everything to follow you, and we see the desperate need every day. It just feels so extravagant, given all the suffering in the world.
Why are your hearts troubled by this act? Why do you question what was done here today?
Because it was a foolish squandering, a direct opportunity to alleviate genuine suffering, simply thrown away for a fleeting scent. Our funds are for the work, for the needy, not for such excesses.
I hear your stated concern for the poor, and indeed it is a righteous one. Have I not taught you constantly about caring for the least of these? Have I not instructed you to give generously, to open your hands wide to those in need, to be merciful? Indeed, I tell you always, and have always told you, the poor you will always have with you. You will always, every day, have opportunities to serve them, to provide for their needs, and to show them compassion with your hands and your resources. That work is unending, and it is vital.
Yes, Lord, you have. We know that. But still, the sheer cost.
But I myself you will not always have. This woman has performed a beautiful work on me, a work born not merely of practicality, but of deepest devotion and a dawning understanding that you, my friends, have yet to fully grasp. Do you remember the parables I have told about the value of what is given out of a full heart, about the difference between outward appearance and inner truth? This perfume was not wasted. It was poured out for a specific purpose at a specific time. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial.
For burial?
The very thing I have told you repeatedly is coming, though your hearts have struggled to comprehend it. My journey, my purpose, it leads to a cross and then to a tomb. This act was a recognition of that, an act of faith in what is to come. And just as this costly oil was poured out, so too will my life be poured out for the many. There are times when devotion, expressed with a generous and prophetic heart, honors me in a way that transcends even the most vital acts of charity, because it acknowledges the uniqueness of the moment and my ultimate purpose. Do not hinder such acts of worship. For truly, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.
A hushed, heavy silence falls over the disciples. The sweet, rich scent of the perfume now seems to carry a new, somber meaning, as the words of Jesus and the reality of his impending fate settle deeper into their troubled hearts. Judas stands slightly apart, his expression unreadable, already calculating a different kind of value. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived in Bethany, a village just outside Jerusalem, where he had previously raised Lazarus from death. The shadow of the cross was drawing near, yet in this quiet town, he found refuge among friends. A dinner was held in his honor at the house of Simon the leper, a man likely healed by Jesus, whose home had become a gathering place for some of Jesus' closest followers. Martha was there, serving as she often did, and Lazarus reclined at a table, alive and well, living proof of Jesus' power over death. The room was full of gratitude, conversation, and anticipation, yet none expected the moment that would soon unfold. Without warning, Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus, entered the room carrying an alabaster jar of pure nard, an incredibly expensive perfume, worth nearly a year's wages. Her steps were quiet but purposeful.
With others looking on, she broke the jar and poured its contents lavishly on Jesus. First on his head, as described in Matthew and Mark, and then on his feet, as John records. She knelt and wiped his feet with her hair, an act of devotion that shattered social norms. The aroma filled the house, a fragrance of worship, sacrifice, and something deeper, something prophetic. Mary likely didn't fully understand it yet, but Jesus would interpret her act as preparation for his burial. The moment didn't land well with everyone. Judas Iscariot, who would soon betray Jesus, objected loudly, questioning why such costly perfume hadn't been sold and the proceeds given to the poor. On the surface, his protest seemed righteous. However, John tells us Judas didn't care for the poor. He was a thief who helped himself to the disciples' funds. The anointing at Bethany is often told as a story of Mary's love, and indeed, her act is beautiful. But the heart of the passage is not just about the woman who poured out the perfume, it's about the man who received it, and how he responded to the disciples' confusion, critique, and spiritual blindness. Jesus was not surprised by Mary's act. What stunned him, and what should stun us, is that those closest to him still didn't understand what time it was. In that Bethany room, Jesus reveals a deeper economy, one measured not in dollars or days, but in devotion and destiny. The disciples struggle to understand. How does one balance compassion for the needy with honor to the Savior? They're burdened by what seems extravagant in an impoverished world. Yet Jesus points to a truth both timeless and urgent. There are moments in life that demand more than practical response. They demand spiritual presence. The poor will always remain, but the Savior's time is limited. Worship takes its proper place not as frivolous expense, but as priority. This woman, tended in the grace of silence and intimacy, pours out a gift that transcends value. Each drop of perfume a declaration of love, each scent-laden breath a surrender in anticipation of the cross. This moment in Bethany exposes not just the heart of Mary, but the heart of Jesus. And more pointedly, it reveals the spiritual fog still clouding the vision of his disciples. They had followed him, sacrificed for him, and preached his message. Yet here, confronted with a profound act of worship, their instincts leaned toward control and critique. Jesus doesn't merely defend Mary, he corrects them. He brings clarity to confusion and invites his followers, then and now, to move beyond what is merely good and into what is truly beautiful in the eyes of God. Let's get deep. What this moment teaches us about Jesus. Jesus values devotion that prepares. He wasn't rebuking service. He was honoring worship that read the signs. He calls us to a devotion that recognizes and prepares the heart for the cross. Jesus honors the genuine gift. The disciples counted cost. Jesus felt the heart. The woman's wealth was meaningless. What mattered was the truth behind the gift. Jesus invokes sovereignty over timing. This moment was ordained before it could be rationalized. His coming crucifixion gave it meaning. He shows us that timing in worship matters as much as intention. Jesus redefines extravagance. From a spiritual perspective, nothing offered in love and intimacy is wasted. The perfume is a metaphor for a life poured out at the feet of the Savior. In Bethany, Jesus challenges us to rethink what matters most. Not just giving, but giving in love. Not just service, but spirit-led sacrifice. In moments when worship feels costly or misunderstood, we remember this. Jesus sees. He knows. And he receives our offerings with eternal weight. His words echo not only through that room, but through time. She has done a beautiful thing to me. May we too choose the beautiful thing.
Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment.
Father, teach us the difference between need and moment. Show us when to care and when to adore. Let our lives be fragrant, lavishly poured out, on the feet of Jesus, in devotion deeper than duty. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.